Blog Talk Radio.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with my heart? Why do you play with my heart?
You ready? Let's do it.
I think Mother Nature must have, you know, forgot that it's not April no more.
Right.
It's been April. It's been showers. That's what's, you know, forecast. I was just like, oh, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of scared of the summer now.
I mean,
it was almost 90 degrees yesterday. I'm like, Lord.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, imagine, you know, come, you know, July, August.
Right.
You know,
what is it going to be like?
You know, 115. But, you know, we definitely can get, you know, definitely can get right into it. Friends, last night we had, you know, OKC, you know, going to San Antonio. And, like, you know, Friends, I don't know. One thing, I checked into the game, they're up by 23, and I'm just like, whoa. Next thing I know, it's 100-65, and I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? Is this that same matchup that we were talking about?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
We were talking about, you know, this potentially being, you know, one of the better matchups in the, you know, playoffs with one of the better teams, like, you know, the Thunder and the Spurs, and the Spurs made them look like they were the Memphis Grizzlies all over
again. But, you know, it comes down to, and I know it's only one game. Do I think every game's going to be like that? No. But I think San Antonio did set the tone to, like, let them know what level we're on.
Yeah.
And that comes from OKC not attending so many playoff, not just playoff games, but deciding games. You know, because at this point, it's a different level that they're on. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just another playoff game to them. To OKC, but to the Spurs, it's like they understand from a statement game to everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a statement game for them, you know. That's basically, you're not on our level.
Mm-hmm.
We can beat you at will, and if we can't beat you, the only way we're gonna lose, you have to bring your A game. And
yeah.
I think that's what happened with OKC. They came in just lackadaisious. Like, there was a regular season game, you know, we're going to play out, and then you know, you guys gonna just let us do what we do, and it's mm-hmm. not that. You know, you got to go in there and do what you do. This is almost like the chance. You got to go in there and take it.
Yeah.
You can't just. Nobody's gonna give it to you, and that's what I've seen. I really think that, you know, they thought they were gonna be able to get to their spot, and you know, this was gonna be a fun little back and forth display of, you know, talent and will. No, they went in there and they punched him in the face, and they didn't stop. OKC didn't want to go down, so they kept punching them. They were mm-hmm. up by 40.
Whew. Yeah, that just, I mean, you said it right, Chris. They came in and they set the tone for the series. They let it be known we're on a different level. We have other goals to accomplish, and not just winning this series. We want to win this series. We want to destroy you, but we want to win a championship.
Right.
And that's definitely, and this is a team that, like the Spurs, for all the talk that the Warriors is getting, the Spurs had a hell of a season.
They did.
Like, you know, you looked at the, you know, it's crazy. You know, the Warriors won, you know, 73 games, but it's not until, like, you know, win number 70 that they actually clinch, you know, the first overall seed in the conference, because the Spurs was right there on their heels
the whole season. And while they had, like, when they were 25-0, the Spurs was maybe like 23-2. So I mean, they definitely should have been getting the buzz. But of course, when you're running off wins like, you know, they were running off, you couldn't even pay attention to the Spurs. But the Spurs is out there like, you know what, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, exactly. And this is what we do. And also, I just, you know, the Westbrook and Durant factor is definitely, you know, key. But I think in the West, you need that whole team.
Oh yeah.
And you need that whole team. Like, you can do that maybe in the Eastern Conference, and you know, you could get by. But you look at it, and you see the coaching. You're talking about Popovich, you know, versus Billy Donovan, who's fresh out of college.
Right.
And
right.
It's a different ball game.
That's the way it looked too. It looked like a professional team playing a team straight out of college.
Yeah, first I'm saying, like, you know, as they say, playoff basketball is different, but every round is different.
Exactly.
Every round, you know, you pick up. You know, you don't treat and do these same rotations that when he was playing against the Dallas Mavericks.
Right.
You don't do that the same thing against the Spurs, because this is another level. And every round you have to, you know, players and coaches have to pick up their level.
But you hit it right on the head. You know, it's like, this is not the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the other thing you hit right on the head was, like, you have to play team. You know, there's no way. I mean, let's take today's game without Steph Curry. The reason why they can come in here and do what they do, because that's how they used to play. They used to play in a team game.
Mhm. Yeah. So, if you look at both, you know, both teams, the Spurs and the Warriors, they're both teams that players move without the ball and they pass the rock around and they find the even better shot.
Right.
Like, they, you know, a guy can be wide open and he'll pass it to the guy in the corner who's wide open, and he has no one within like 20 feet of him. So, you know.
you know what a rule is always, you know, you play Little League and they always tell you the ball moves faster than the person.
Yeah.
You know, you keep swinging the ball around, the ball will get there before that defender gets there. And let's be real, the Spurs have been doing this for the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have set the tone to this, as we might want to call it, new phase of basketball where it's a big team. You know, it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And we all said it. It's going to be San Antonio and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the championship. I just don't. You can say whatever you want, but Donovich. And a love, it doesn't matter. They're not going to beat the Spurs. I just, unless a total meltdown of the Spurs and Popovich, that's a win that's not going to happen. I'm willing to bet anything on that game. And let's just be for real. I wouldn't even doubt it if they're not trying to just say, let's hurry up and end this. Because, you know, Golden State might be trying to just end this really fast so Steph can rest. Mm-hmm. They might be like, yo, we don't want to give them. If we can get two games against Golden State without Steph, we set the tone.
Yeah. Yo, definitely. And you know, and the quicker they, you know, I think there's going to be kind of a layoff and whatnot. But the, you know, handle the, you know, the Trailblazers, you know, fairly quickly. And hopefully, you know, it's a week now. It'll be a week, you know, tomorrow, you know, and then next week, I think that'll be 2 weeks. And hopefully then, you know, that knee is right. And he'll be ready to go against the Spurs because, you know, that's what you're talking about. You probably got to go back into the early 2000s if you want to talk about, like, a heavyweight fight when you talk about the Lakers and the Kings.
Right.
You know, going back and, you know, the Lakers and the Kings and the Lakers and the, you know, the Trailblazers. And that's definitely going to be, you know, a battle because now nobody's pulling. Nobody's, you know, sitting players, resting players. And, you know, it's not regular season anymore.
Right. It's all in. It's do or die.
Yeah.
And I think it's not like it is more for the Spurs, but I think they're really pushing it. Because, come on, you can't tell me they don't have one shadow of a thought that let's just win this last year. Because I can promise you Tim Duncan's not coming back next year.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, like Tim, yeah, like Tim is, yeah, Tim is, you know, Tim is definitely on his last, like, you know, that whole team. Like, you look at Tim, you know, Manu, you know, they are definitely, you know, not players, you know, they're not the same players that they, you know, were, and they, you know, they're up there in age, and it'll be a definitely great way to send them off into retirement. Huh. You know, Tim
absolutely
getting a sixth ring, Tim getting number six. That would definitely put
it, you know, and going into the sunset.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, and but also we had a, you know, we had another game seven. You had a game seven with the Hornets and the Heat, and that just was a laughter for me.
Yeah,
that was a laughter. You look at that game, and you just said, "What? What was this? What happened?" Like you look at that game, and you know, and the things that happened during that game, it just got out of hand quickly. And I think the veteran leadership of Dwayne Wade rubbed off on his teammates because they looked like they were more ready for that spotlight.
Exactly. But that's what needs to happen. Sometimes when you haven't been there, you know. You got to lean on the people that's been there before. And this is what I talked about, you know, before when people was really talking about how Dwayne Wade is this, and that. It's like you got to understand sometimes playing a position. We talked about it a little bit the other day, not on air, but like when you play a position for the better of your team, like Luke Walton not letting his ego get into the way. Like Dwayne Wade, with the team came with the big three, and he had to take a step back. People, oh, he's not the same. He's not the same. He can't be the same when you have a Dwayne Wade because they're the same type of player.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody has to take a step back so somebody else can lead the team. You know, you can't have two leaders because you're going to go in different directions. But Dwayne Wade, he showed a lot this season that he's still complex.
Yeah,
put a good team around him, and at the end of the day, that's what it takes. And LeBron James is going to soon realize, you know, you need that team, you know. And let's be for real, the two times they did win, who made key shots? Shane Battier stepped up. Ray Allen made a key shot. We're not talking about the big three. If they do what they do all the time, you still need you know, those role players to step up and have a great game. The year before last, when San Antonio did it, Patsy Mills, whatever his name, he went nuts on them. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Tony Parker, you know. So it's those key players that all have to step up at certain times because, let's be for real, it's a team sport.
Definitely. No, I mean, first, like, just, you know, I can't say it, you know, more quickly than what you just said it. It's a team sport. And you need, you know, you need team, you need players. But, you know, this, you know, if we was to ask anything, Dwayne Wade's leadership definitely showed up because they looked like they were the more, you know, prepared team.
Yeah. And you know what? Spoelstra gets a lot more credit than he's ever gotten before. And they say he is a really, really good coach. And LeBron couldn't run him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Pat Riley knew what
was not letting it happen.
you know, Pat Riley, and that's another thing, you know, is that I want to, you know, that there goes a difference between, like, coaching staffs. If you want to compare a coaching staff with that is in, you know, with, if you want to compare a coaching staff that's with, let me front office management that's in, the difference between a management that's in Cleveland and in Miami. Is that right there?
Right. Yeah, I couldn't say that even better. And you're dealing with a Pat Riley compared to anybody in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, you have Pat Riley who's not going to take any nonsense from no one.
Exactly. And he doesn't have to. And you can't sit up there and try and push him in the corner. Just like, dude, I do this. You forgot. I've done this two times before you, and I've done this multiple times out in L.A. without you, you know? So we've done this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, for it's like, yeah, there you go. It's like I'm Pat Riley, and this is kind of what I do. I do this, and you know, it is what it is. But
moreover, it's like this is how this is done, Young Buck. You know, this is how this is done. This is how championships are won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's. I mean. And we talked about it last week, and you know me, I'm in my feelings a little bit because I picked them to go to the championship, but it was also indicative of a certain player being there and he's not there.
Okay. No, I know, and I totally understand what you're saying, and we talked about that at length, how Miami is definitely a different team, you know, than they were. You know, speaking of another, you know, Game 7. You have Houston. I mean, you have Toronto and Indiana, and boy oh boy, is a team like Indiana just kicking itself and looking at themselves like, what in the hell did we do? Because they had an opportunity for us to be up right now, and they could be ready to go into a battle with Miami.
Exactly. And again, like I said it over and over because, you know, I pay attention to Toronto because my nephew is a big Toronto fan. And before the playoffs started, he asked me, who do you think is going to be, what could be a potential upset? And I told him. And I said it like this. I said, anybody that plays Indiana. Right? You know, Toronto's playing that. I said, but look it. I said, that's even worse. Because the best player on the floor is Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the play, it's about that. It's about the superstar.
Yep.
You know, it's about the superstar. We talked about it the show before. Who wouldn't? Who's not crazy enough to try and go after Paul George?
Wait, this is the moment right here. I mean. More so, you're looking at players like Kyle Lowry and Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Are you guys for real players, or do you show up in the playoffs, or y'all just regular season? Are we just talking about you in the regular season?
Right, and this is what, and this is where it goes. And like you said before, the leadership of Dwayne Wade, it's like, this is what it's all about. Forget the regular season, because the regular season people don't care about no more. It's done and over with. This is what counts now. And that's what happens.
No, definitely. And, you know, it's definitely a game. And I think they pull it off. But their coaching is going to have to know, damn, this is do or die.
Exactly.
There's no phrases, no, you know, you can't pull. You can't be lackadaisical. You cannot be lackadaisical. You have to, and you must pull players. If you cannot sit there and say, okay, you know, Paul George or whoever, you cannot let him sit on the bench for a long period of time.
Right. Nope. And I don't think it's going to be that. And in his defense, he might have been like his leg.
No, but it wasn't just the Paul George, it was a Monty Ellis. It was
right. Right.
It was the whole, I mean, we were just talking about Paul George. It was just the whole bench. And it was just like, you can't have everyone on the field at the same, you know, I mean, you can't have everybody on the bench. You know, once the league starts to crumble, you got to, you get in there. But I think that he learned from that, and I see them, you know, pulling this victory off today.
I definitely, it's going both ways. I would have liked to see Toronto, you know, go there because I would want to see how they're going to do against Cleveland. But
Do you think that a team like Toronto, do you feel like was that much of a regular season, or do you think that they're like that bad matchup for a Cavalier team? Because as we said before, the playoffs is all about matchups.
That's what I was gonna get to. I just think they match up. They give Cleveland problems matching up. Because of the shooting.
We can discount a Pacers team or whatever cases, but they're not a great matchup. The Pacers team is not a great matchup, you know, for regular, you know, for this Toronto team.
No.
You know, they're not a great matchup.
No, and we talked about it before. It's about the matchups, and I said before when I was looking at the Clippers, and I remember I said the team that's clapping for joy was the Spurs, because the Spurs just don't match up well against the Clippers because they're too long. And then you got Chris Paul that can go off. And let's remember who knocked him out last year. It wasn't Golden State.
Oh yeah, they went head to head. And I mean, the reason I brought a matchup, you know, so it's not gonna like it, but I just think that back in those back to back years with the Lakers, they never ran into the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
And that was a bad matchup for the Lakers. And you've seen what happened to him with the 2011 season.
Yep.
Dallas swept them. And people were saying during that championship run, Lakers never played them, which is kind of funny because that matchup was a bad matchup for them.
Exactly.
That was a bad matchup for, you know, the Lakers. And, you know, you see, you know, they happen to run into him and – so, you know, Lakers, you know, sweep them, but – and that's what the playoffs is about. It's about avoid, you know, if you can avoid somebody or whatever cases, it's
you
always –
you try to avoid them. You, I mean, let's be for real. That even goes how the seating is in March Madness. They, mm-hmm. you know, you want to avoid certain teams that you don't have to play.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was Cleveland, I would be jumping up and down. I would have my pom poms and everything for the Pacers. I'd be like, yeah, yay, Paul George, yay, go, Pacers. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, I definitely see that to some degree that, you know, they do not want to see, you know, a team like Toronto. You don't want to see, like, you know, a team like, you know, Toronto. Or, you know, whatever. But they have a game. Speaking of the Cavs, they have a game tomorrow. It's against the Hawks. I don't think that the fan affair or, you know, attention, you look at that and you're like, man, this probably may be a sweep. Unless the Hawks learn from that. Because you're talking about a team that had Kyrie that was kind of hobbled. And no Kevin Love, and they just ran right through the Hawks last year.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
you know, you wonder if this team has learned what the case has been. So, you know, we shall see, but this doesn't look like a team that's gonna be. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think they're going to sweep them this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think it's going to be, you know, I think 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I just hit somebody up and tell them to look for me some tickets because I'm going to go to one of the games. Watch the Hawks play.
I have a question that, you know, we just, it was kind of curious for us because we were, I watched Atlanta Boston series and I don't know for us, it seems though that the intensity from the crowd in Boston was just drastically different from the intensity from the crowd in Atlanta.
You probably had half of the team in there rooting for Boston.
I mean, half of the fans.
Dude, it's just like it is. Dude, I go to a Braves game because my wife works at Norfolk Southern, so they always do a little team thing. So we go to a Braves game. If I don't go to one or two, I at least go to one every year. And it's more – and you got to realize, you know, I went to school in Boston, a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Went to Fenway Park every year at least one game. And the crowds are different. Here, because they say, oh, it's a melting pot, this, this, and that. Call it what you want. I said, when I go home or the games we go to, you would never see more fans from an opposing team than that's what's in the stadium. That's what's in the crowd.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
You can go to the Hawks game, you'll see it. You can go to the Falcons game, it'll be more Steelers fans than Falcons fans.
Wow.
And that's just what it is. So you were definitely right about your statement. And I had this conversation with somebody maybe last week. We're talking about the same thing. And I was just sharing them, you know, I told them, you can go to Fenway Park and somebody throw beer on you and it'll look like it start an altercation and they'll throw you out because you're not. and they didn't believe me. I was like, yeah, that's how it'll go. I was like, they're not going to throw their fans out. So, I mean, and I talk about it daily. The sports here is not like what I'm used to, you know. If you're a home fan, you're not – you can come in here and boo them. You're not booing the Red Sox. You will leave out there soaked and wet from beer, spit, whatever. You're not booing the Red Sox at Fenway Park. You're not happening. It's like you're not going to New York Stadium with all your paraphernalia on. If so, you better have parked with curbside parking because you're not going to get too far.
It's definitely. I mean, I was just like curious if you knew it, you noticed, you know, the same aspect of what I thought as far as in the team from you know in Atlanta. It just seems as though the game looked different.
Now, don't get me wrong. They're rallied when they're doing good. They won't have fans here that. They only want to cheer when it's going good, you know?
Okay. And,
you know, so, of course, they like that they're in the playoffs. But, again, that's what we talked about. That's like we made the playoffs. You know, when you're not used to being championships, then making the playoffs is good for you, you know? You go other teams, we made the playoffs. So what? We did not win.
Yeah.
What do we got to do next year to be champions? That's their mentality. Here, if we – as long as we can make the playoffs, we all right.
it's definitely a different kind of mindset. But also, Frizz, you know, we you know touched on the fact that Luke Walton was announced the head coach on Friday of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Poor Luke.
So you know, why did you say that?
I mean, they announced him to be in the head coach. They didn't say that, you know, Kevin Durant was coming to play with him or he was bringing Steph Curry with him. They said he was coming to coach that team. At the end of the day, come on, look at the Western Conference. Okay, say if he brought a little intensity from, you know, Golden State with him to have them to play team ball. Okay, they'd probably be a little bit better in the East. Come on,
yeah.
You're looking at the Western Conference. The best player is who?
The rookie?
Oh, no, Russell. No, probably what? Well, they leaning on Randall trying to be the face? Clarkson? Clarkson will probably be their best player.
Definitely.
So that's why I said poor Luke. This first year is going to be tough for him. How can you go from coaching or being on the sideline with Steph Curry, Harrison Barnes, Klay Thompson, and then you got to go look at Swaggy P and his boys and still deal with that issue of you know, telephone. I was like, yo, no phones. He sent me something that I thought was funny when Kobe's last game, I think it was. And who had their camera snapping pictures?
Huh?
You sent me a video, I think it was Kobe's last game, and remember
yeah.
They were celebrating? And Mr. Phone Man had his phone.
Yeah.
So those are still issues that he has to deal with when he gets in there because it's a confidence level. But who all knows, you know, what we don't know what was said. I'm sure they promised him some things because I don't think he would have just took it on a whim. So who all knows? Who all knows? Kobe might come help him coach, sit on the sideline, still come work with the players. Who knows what's going to go on? But, again, like you said, if it didn't start with the head, I do think the coaching might help the players a little bit because Byron Scott, to me, he bombed totally. And I used to like Byron Scott, but I think he just gave in. He's like,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
No, definitely. Also, too, though, Frizz, is the commitment has to be there. The commitment, everything has to be on board. It's now, Frizz, it's all about it's a process of cycling through the next phase of that franchise. Because
right.
It's not that Kobe's injured, Kobe's away. No, he's not coming back. He's gone. He's not there anymore. He's gone. So now the process is about going into that next, you know, phase as far as in the franchise. And, you know, you're definitely curious to see where they're going to go. Know what
right.
direction should they, you know, they choose, and they have to, and they have to give him that opportunity. They have to give him that opportunity, or it's going to be all for God because they can't pull the trigger on him. And like you said before, Fritz, how many coaches are they going to be paying?
Exactly. And you know, that was my big thing. It was like, it's like you've been coaching, you've been playing coaches ever since Phil left. And then you were the dummy that entertained Phil and then went with D'Antoni, you know? So for one season, then you let him go, and you're still paying him. Mike Brown, D'Antoni, I'm like, that's when I'm saying the head. The head just has to go because if not, these mistakes and these things are still going to go on, and you're going to look at some people where they're going to not start to respect the player.
Mm-hmm. No, and also, too, though, that they're going to come to this, and people are not going to respect the organization, and they'll just become – And they'll just look like a laughing stock, you know. I.e., how the Knicks look like a long, you know, a lot, you know, long, you know, like how the Knicks look. You know, you don't want to be a team that's, you know, has that, you know, great, you know, prestige and history, but you look like a laughing stock because you don't know what you're doing and you're mismanaging players,
right,
and you know, pieces and things like that. So I just hope that. All I'm just saying is, you know, people in Lakeland, I hope you don't expect, you know, all of a sudden, oh, Luke got the Spurs, I mean, the Warriors to 34 and whatever the record was and, you know, things like that. More so Thibodeau's down. And you have a young coach, but y'all going to have to go through these growing pains together.
Exactly. And if they're aware of that, like I said, it could be a great step in the right direction, you know, and being if they're willing to see how you can go from, you know, how you can be a team like Golden State and how he coached under a guy like Steve Kerr and how he's seen what he did. I mean, come on, let's be for real. You can't tell me that he didn't say, well, what did you do different than what Mark Jackson did? So he's going to have some skills to bring into there. And then they always say his career stayed in the NBA great because he was a smart basketball player.
Yeah.
So he does have things to bring to them, and they just got to be able to listen. You got knuckleheads sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. No, you have to, like, you know, understand as far as in, you know, him and what he's going to bring in for his, and that's why you understand, like, why is Luke Walton still in the NBA? And I'm pretty sure that he was definitely a student of the game. He definitely understands, you know, attention to detail and things like that. So I think that he's going to be a great benefit to this, you know, franchise. And I just hope that management, you know, gives him an opportunity. Because I think, even though I feel like Byron Scott was kind of overrated, I think that they didn't give him a chance because of moves that they made or they didn't make because of the pieces they put around him to get him out there to coach.
Right.
It was like, what am I supposed to do with this type of team? And you've seen what happened.
And I think that's the attitude he gave coming into the whole taking the job. He's like, well, I'm going to just use what you gave me and then still try and go on record. Remember, this is not my team. If I have my team, but they ain't going to wait for all of that. You do have a team, use them. I mean, the thing about what I've seen sometimes is they didn't even look like they were there to play, if that makes sense. It was sometimes looking at them like, you know, they had no defense intensity. They played no defense at all. And so I was like, yeah, that doesn't even look like y'all practice. It doesn't even look like y'all want to win. And believe it or not, to me, that's when I think Kobe made the decision on, I think I'm going to go ahead and retire. This is a different era. You know, y'all don't come in here first in the locker room, you know, and kind of pumped up to play. You know, so let me just bow down on here because it is a different era. You waiting to see another Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James in the making or Steph Curry. But you see the persistence that Steph Curry put in. He's been in the league since 2009. People think this is like, oh, he just came in here. No, he's been in the league since 2009. And he said, I do this every single game. And now we're seeing the benefits of what he's done every game, I mean, every day for those years, dribbling with two balls, doing this, doing that, working on this handle. Now he's reaping the benefits of the of that work ethic.
Yeah, that's
you have
exactly
to have a work ethic.
No, exactly. He transitioned himself from not being just a shooter into being an actual, you know, more a basketball player and putting himself in that conversation and saying, I'm going to be one of the greatest of all time. And that's what
right.
Steph Curry did. And that's what Steph Curry did when he took his game to another level.
Right. Right.
And then, you know, also Frizz, you know, this weekend, you know, as we kind of alluded to at the end of the show, Frizz was like, you know, has it to talk about, you know, we had the, you know, we had the, you know, you got the NFL draft, you know, congratulations to all the players that are, you know, transitioning to a new career. Hopefully, you know, like as we said before, hopefully y'all save y'all money so y'all can, you know, go against this dictator that you have that you, I never got, you know, I don't understand they were, I never got the aspect of going up to really shake the commissioner's hand. And you know, and giving him this big hug because he's not your boss.
Right. Well, he is.
Well, yeah. but I'm just saying though, it's just like you don't have to, and you find out, but you know these players, they go up and they give him this big bear hug, and it's like, yo, he works for the owners, and he's kind of against you. You gonna find that out when it becomes a labor law, and he's not doing you any favors. And you look, and you know, in that aspect, so you kind of look at him, and I always got that aspect. But for his Thursday night, there was definitely some drama. You had Laramie Tunsil. Right before the draft, there was a video of him that leaked of him smoking a gas mask. First off, you know, it sucks. It sucks that the video was leaked. Somebody hacked his account, you know, put it out there. And once it's out there in the Twitter world or, you know, social media world, it's out there. I don't care if you delete it or whatever case is, you know. So, Frizz, the aspect of the video is, why the hell are you letting people record you?
Exactly. That's the only thing I had to say. I said, so what, he's smoking weed. You know me. I'm different. So what?
Yeah.
They all did it. But why are you letting people record you? And who AKA tapped into your Twitter account?
Mm-hmm.
What is this extortion thing going on?
The people that they're labeling as far as the stepfather and they believe an ex-advisor that he just recently fired. You know, cause and it's believable because.
Right.
You know, you got the dude over Sal Graves. He's like, oh, you want to fire me? Okay. Well, yep. Well, you lost $8 million.
Or be like, look, I know all what you did, and I'll leak it out and get some money. How about
yeah.
this? Fuck it. I'll leak it out myself and say my account was hacked. You know? So you still get nothing. Because, see, that's what type of person I would be. Oh, forget it. I'll leak it out myself and say I was hacked. Apologize. Now you still get nothing.
Yeah, no, definitely, Frizz. Yeah, I don't know. You just look at the aspect of, you know, him. And like I said, Frizz, we know. Who cares? He smokes weed. Who cares? I mean, we don't want you to be Josh Gordon. I don't want you to be Josh. But these kids are young. They gotta make mistakes, and you know we look at it. But my whole thing though is just, why are you letting you knowing who you are? Why are you letting someone record you? Because this things like this could come bite you in your ass. Because we've seen that last year, for instance, when they were talking about the Dez Bryant video, when there was this alleged video that never came, we never seen, for instance. Remember that alleged video of Dez Bryant? So it's always. Watch, and we see it now with Johnny Manziel, where it's like, yo, you know, you alluded to friends before. It's, yo, if I'm having a party, everybody put their phones in this, and you'll get it at the end of the, you know, you'll get it at the end, because I don't want nobody you know, we're going to have fun. I want nobody sitting here putting this out there and you know,
right.
he catch a bad rap.
People can say what they want to say. Look, when I go and I go away with some of my buddies that's in the industry or whatever, that's the rule. No Instagram, no tweeting. Matter of fact, we don't say that to me. Check this out. If you want to come in here, phone in this basket. Security has it. When you leave, you get your phone back.
Yeah.
We'll give you a number. It's just simple and easy. That's how we're doing this. You know, if you're going to, and let's be real, if this is going to cost me millions of dollars, I'm sorry. And it, you know, that's just how it needs to be. That's just how it needs to go. And if you want to be in here, then this is what you got to do. If not, then that's cool. You don't have to be here. But guaranteed people are going to do it. I was at Neil's wedding. They did the same thing. All cameras in the basket. People did it without blinking an eye.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. You know, you don't want, you know, everyone in your moment, or you want that to just be your moment. And just people, you know, you have other people that's out there to get, you know, different kind of gains, because, like I said, for the extortion, or they're
right.
trying to sell it, or they're trying to sell it because they have the first scoop. So it's definitely a new thing, but when you had that drama, you had, you know, that kind of drama of, you know, fold arm down, and he ended up going to the Miami Dolphins. They got them a hell of a player if he can get his head on right. I don't know about being in South Beach is going to help, but hopefully he has a lot of people in his corner that could, you know, help him, you know, stay on that narrow path, you know, on that straight path. But you know, even still alone in prison without the Wii video, I'll take him, because, man, like the Lions GM said, if we taking people off our board because of weed, you might as well take off half of the, you know, the class. For us, you might as well take off everybody in the class, half of them at least, because people out here smoking that weed, for us. It's just all about the players who's dumb enough to get caught. That's the problem
right.
with the players that you got to
right.
worry about.
Right, they're getting that ganja in. This is me for real. And okay, so if he was doing that, you still got film on him. So now you know what he does. So you can see, you can't say that there was a lax in his play.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
Definitely for his. No. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's a hell of a player. But also for his, you know, that's another thing that I kind of, this is one thing that I kind of hate, and it's draft grades. It's kind of like, it's draft grades. It's the you know, the websites, you know, whoever it is, they're giving you a grade on how you did as far as in the draft compared to what they thought you should have did, or what cases. Like, I never got that question. It sounds so stupid to me. Because
what is it? Like, what, did they take an exam or something? Like, did they they take an essay, a football SAT? How did they get the grade?
Yeah, no, exactly. It blows my mind, you know, how some of these, you know, pundits out there, oh, well, I give this team a C+, and this team gets an A. And how do you know how so-and-so player is going to turn out? How do you know who this player is going to be at? Because, Frizz, I'm going to be real with you, Frizz. Some of these players in this first round are going to be a bust.
Absolutely. But we
talked
about
that. Not,
you know,
everybody's going to be great.
And it was funny because you heard me the other day. I'm like, I'm so worried about the draft. I'm like, everybody. But I found myself still into it, and more or less to know who's who, who's where,
mm-hmm.
what picks is going to be, you know, how that's going to impact the team. But, you know, there wasn't your top rated players in this draft. There's going to be a lot of people that's not going to be able to compete on that next level.
Yeah, no, you know, exactly, for then you have these players and you look at these, you know, different types and you gotta wonder, like, you know, a team's draft board could be different from anybody else's, and it's that their board because they know what kind of players they want.
Right.
They know what type, you know, a talent that they want, and I feel though that draft grades more so a good, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years after that draft class was.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you wonder what these draft experts were saying about the Steelers getting Antonio Brown in the 6th round. What were they saying? Oh, I don't know if he's going to make the team or this and that. And now look at him. He's the best receiver in the league. You know, he's the best receiver. So I think that these grades, and I just, you know, I find it, you know, it's just like, you know, free agency, everything, off season. I just, off season grades, and you know, all this, and they want you to get. I think it's a bunch of, just, you know, table talk, because I don't know how you can give a grade based on what. Let's see how that, you know, addition helps that team on the field, because, as we know, there's a lot of blunders in the draft, and there's a lot of blunders in free agency.
Right, right. Right, and it's going to be. And little what we were looking at is, like, you still don't build through free agency, though. That's why I think people are paying more attention to this draft than anything. They're looking for that Tom Brady, you know, that person that we might not think that's so good that's going to come in and do, you know, and shake the league up. But, you know, it depends on the system and the team they're going to. I mean, we talked about that the other day. It's like, who are you going to have to develop these players?
Yeah. No, definitely. You know, yeah, no, definitely. It's all about development. It's all about development, and that's why I look at, you know, how many times have I seen these people not get a Bill Belichick draft class, and they're just who is this player? Who's that player? And he ends up being, you know, a great addition to the team. He comes up with a key play, and you know, and this and that. I mean, look at Malcolm Butler. He went from having a tryout for his.
Exactly.
Drafted, he went to having a tryout with the Patriots to catching the game winning Super Bowl, you know, catch. So we just never know. You never know. And now you're talking about him being, you know, him, you know, being a, you know, he was a Pro Bowl corner last year. So you never know. So you have, you know, you. It baffles me. And you look at it, and it's like, why? And they know, they just, you know, it's a team that just know how to draft, and that's why, because I mean, truth be told, first you get that nice call in the first round, but the meat and potatoes of your team is in those middle
rounds. Right.
That's where you get, and
the biggest thing, not to cut you off, but the biggest thing we talked about too is you have your identity in your system. So when you plug in players in, you plug in players into a system, and you're not just plugging names in, you know?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, the Patriots do what they do, because they're not plugging names in. They're plugging players into a system, i.e. a Malcolm Butler, that he can come from practicing, and he's like, you know what? He fits our system.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They wouldn't get a Sherman. He probably wouldn't fit their system. You know,
yeah.
That's what makes it different.
And the same goes for, you know, players like a Richard Sherman. And he fits that mold of what Pete Carroll wants. He fits the mold of what Pete Carroll wants as far as as a cornerback. So, you know, you just look at different things, and looking back at the draft. You hope a team like the Rams, he got his guy, and the same goes for the Eagles. You basically mortgaged, you know, your future, your immediate future, you know, around these guys, because if these guys aren't the guys, then this is going to set your franchise back. This could, you know, really set your franchise back.
Exactly. And you got to really, really, really pay attention to that when you're doing it. I mean, and again, what are you going for? You know, we talked about the same thing with, you know, you have a team like a Cleveland that would love just to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a team like New York, you know, New England. It's Seattle's like, it's Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
This needs to get us over the edge, you know, to get us back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. No, and you just look, you know, you look at these teams, and there was, for one of the more puzzling signings or, you know, draft, you know, picks that I've seen was, it was Derrick Henry going to the Titans. Because now you have him and DeMarco Murray. And honestly, to me, Frizz, they're kind of like, they're not the similar build, but the kind of back they are, they're the kind of the same back. They're not a running back by committee kind of back.
Right.
They are bell cow backs, whereas I think that, you know, they're the backs, Frizz, that the more you give them the ball, the better they will get, because now they're wearing on the defense.
Yeah.
You got to give them that ball 20 to 25 times a game, because that's how much – it's kind of like, you know, you got to start them. It's like, you know, you keep winding them up, and boom, there they go. They're not that back that's going to give you 15 carries a game and it's going to be effective. No, they need 20 to 25 carries. And I was just, like, looking at that move like, geez, DeMarco Murray could find himself somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, after this season, and wow.
Easy. And that's what might just happen with them. You know, but that's an immediate, something that immediate is going to happen. You have to have immediate results. If not, you're going to wear them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about it before, the life expectancy. You know, if you're 23, once you hit, you got 7 years.
Yeah. Or it's definitely, you know, done. And, you know, for you look at it, you know, you guys drafted a quarterback. You guys have, you know, you guys drafted Ezekiel Elliott. And you guys, you guys drafted him. And people wonder, hey, y'all got McFadden. But also, too, you got to look at somebody like McFadden. He's always hurt. That injury still, you know, that injury is still creeping around the corner. Also, you know, you had Alfred Morris, and Alfred hasn't looked the same.
Right.
He hasn't been the same, so you can't count on him, you know, being that, you know, type of running back. And also, you have insurance for him. You don't have to throw him in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to throw him in the fire and just make him be a bell cow.
Right. Right, but you have to make sure we talked about it. You have to make sure you're building and still going according to what you've already built on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that offensive line, keeping that offensive line moving, and just plugging, because they still have to address that defense.
Yeah. No. It's definitely a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely a work in progress. But, you know, a game like, you know, draft degrees are stupid.
Yeah. But then again, and let's just be real. After Thursday, nobody else paid attention to it, but it was going on all the way up until yesterday.
Yeah.
And just to piggyback a little bit off of what you were talking about, it's what we're going to do exactly now. It's now. Romo's got maybe 2 years. So to them, it's now. It's like if we have to run this dude in the ground, we need to win one ring. One ring. Or really, Tony Romo's career, he can have all the numbers better than Troy Aikman and everything, he would never be better than Troy Aikman because he did not get one ring.
Yeah, you need that. Yes, you definitely you need that ring. Thank y'all for tuning in to Rift 4 Show. We definitely going heavy into postseason playoffs. As far as the basketball, because this is where it's getting at.
We're gonna get into my Red Sox playing the Yankees this weekend.
Oh yeah, and they've been kicking ass, Riz.
Their bats are moving. They just got a couple of pitching issues because you know how it is. When you're scoring 6 and 7 runs and you're losing 9 and 7, I have a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you want to win. Riz, you want to win. Riz, you want to win those 2-1 games because you know that your pitching staff pitched their asses off.
Exactly. So they do got a game tonight, or it's about to start with the Yankees. Red Sox Yankees, always a good watch.
Definitely. We'll playoff basketball, and we'll start diving, see how this first month has been treating the Red Sox, our Red Sox. So thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Absolutely.
I did some charity today for the kids, but it wasn't charity. I saw it with clarity.